The first class was with Austin Scott. Mr. Scott came into the room and simply said, "Welcome to the Harvard Law School. You are beginning a grand experience."
I went to law school not really expecting to like it very much. I thought it was going to be a lot of drudgery and memorizing things, and I discovered it wasn't like that at all. It was a place of real intellectual excitement.
When we talk about act, we talk about something that involves some willed muscular movement. And when we're talking about omission, we are very typically talking about a situation in which you just don't have the willed muscular movement. All right, so let me give you a hypothetical, all right? I go scuba diving with a friend of mine. We go out in the ocean together, we go down. My tank malfunctions. And my buddy is there, and he looked at me and lets me go. Now, can we prosecute my buddy for manslaughter?
My problem was that it was an entire new language. Most of the time, in the first few weeks, I really had trouble following what was going on because I didn't know what a springing use was and what a shifting use was, or what even what a complaint was.
I couldn't distinguish between trespass, quarry, clausum, fragate, and trespass something else. I don't remember what it is. I know I sat down convinced that my days were numbered.
What does the court mean by suggesting that not only is heroin addiction an illness, but it's an illness that's an involuntary one? Anybody? Zick?
Well, the court is saying that some addicts have done it that way, and some haven't.
Aha. Uh-huh. So why can't we use our common sense and say you're a heroin addict, you're going to commit a crime, we're going to arrest you now preventively?
We don't convict people of crimes on the probability that they're going to do something. There are all sorts of groups who one might identify as high crime risks, people who seem dangerous one reason or another, but we don't convict them on that probability.
That's an interesting proposition. You ever hear of a crime called speeding? Because speeding is sufficiently connected in common experience with injuries to warrant the arrest. How about, are you in favor of gun control?
I think I am.
Some kind of gun. Okay.
And there I was, out on a very long branch.
You've just been appointed to the Supreme Court. You want to write a good, powerful opinion. What do you say?
That in the case where the offense that's been committed is a status offense, that is an offense that continues between and therefore after the commitment of individual offenses, this is definitely not clear.
Well, I'm going to give you all a chance to become
I think every first-year student, today as well as then,
has a feeling sometime during his first year that he can't possibly make it. He can't follow what's going on. He can't make sense of it. He can't connect things.
The professor, I think it was Professor Brown, asked the question to which I was sure I knew the answer, and so I volunteered, and he knew me, and he said, "Yes, Mr. Zobel," sitting in the back of the room where I was, and I blithely gave the answer, and he looked at me and said, "Mr. Zobel," he had a wonderful southern accent, "Mr. Zobel, you have made a hideous error."
Good point, Ms. Popes. That is very good. There's quite a large latitude in choice of law rules. What's the argument for state law?
It still sounds like common law.
Yes, sure. What's the argument for the application of federal law to this issue? Yes.
Congress intended to totally wipe out the contract.
Exactly. If you permit alternative remedies, you're going to undermine the object that Congress sought. We ought to get the same result applying the same law in both courts. Do you guys know anything about railroad track cases?
The wide range of courses and extracurricular activities will permit you to explore the many dimensions of law and the legal profession and to determine your own special interests, abilities, and concerns.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Sean Royce will tell us that Mr. Faulkner wasn't working on the night of the murder. Miss Hyde had a bullet wound in the upper left side of her head,
and a contusion of your left cheek just below the bullet wound. There was also...
Now, you have all that. Those are just facts. I mean, so for the jury, what do you want to illustrate?
Well, there's a lot of them. First of all,
you can't portray Savannah Hyde as having left the suicide note, can you?
What does it say? Together, right? So the togetherness is that they're both dead. That's a big fact for you.
How can they? Then they're in a lot of trouble.
That's right.
All the facts point to Ashley Faulkner.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
This morning, I was at home, my farm with my kids, and the constable came to the door. Honest to God, I don't know what is going on, but he told me that I had to move out in 3 days, or else he would have to come back and put me out on the street.
Has he been fixing up the apartment?
No, he doesn't do anything.
No?
No, he just comes around, he collects the rent, he gets my rent from welfare every month, and he doesn't care about those buildings.
Okay, Carol, we're going to go down the court and see if there's a suit filed against you. Mm-hmm. If there was, we'll file a motion to set aside the judgment to keep your landlord from putting you out. I'm going to call your landlord and see what the problem is. You know, what's caused him to try and get you put out of your apartment now, and maybe we can work out some things.
The law school does not have a single vision of what it expects you to be, other than a skilled, compassionate lawyer who will seek to serve the best interests of society. To be or not to be is no longer the question. You have already decided to be lawyers, and therefore I welcome you to inquiry. I mean, who says the Harvard Law faculty can't work together?
That's a feeling that has hardly left me as I faced one class after another.
And this is all private law, not public law, and it's just the carrying out of the high-level principle of freedom of contract.
Obviously, one answer to that is the answer of professional sports, right? The union negotiates the threshold.
In which the displayed goods, typically soft drink cans, have exploded.
Presumably because the educational quality of the student-run activity
is rather weaker than Dworkin's position or the position of other political theorists who would argue that courts do, in fact, do something different from other institutions.
Now, that's outrageous because of its impact on the other shareholders.
But if it's not a commercial context, you should say, this is going to be tricky. I'll bet there are several ways to do it.
So it's the cumulative force of what I have to say and what Martha has to say that you will find dazzling and persuasive.
That is just silly. Incredibly silly.
And that's what a lot of the time, that's what the time cases came to be.
Oh, one thing I forgot to mention was that we aren't as over as we thought, so we're going to lose about 20 pages out of this spring issue, but I think we're still going to have to go to a cheaper quality paper.
But in the secondary source that Simpa talked about. She's just citing the chart.
She really should cite the original source.
And it was cited in a secondary source. It's not like this is something we haven't checked in the... Okay, I'll just check that when I get it back.
How much of the case takes up the relation of those military suppliers to the government? Certainly, your claims are basically against the suppliers themselves, aren't they not?
That's correct, Your Honor. We claim that even our recovery for products liability in the consumer field would necessarily...
Ames was really wonderful stuff.
...of these important military suppliers.
It was the one experience in the law school that directly translated to practice.
We also argue the federal common law must supply the rule of decision because federal interests are implicated.
I've told students worrying about their moot court. I could remember when I was been solicitor general for a couple of years, would have argued by that time 30 cases or so in the Supreme Court, sitting with my turn coming up, and I hadn't been able to sleep the night before. My stomach's turning over, my hands are sweating.
Plaintiff class are bound by the judgment. Certification of a mandatory class action violates the Anti-Injunction Act.
So you're saying that Rule 23b1b is unconstitutional?
Not at all, Your Honor.
Or necessarily violates the Anti-Injunction Act?
In this case, where there is an injunction against state court proceeding.
I had a character witness, but when I put him on the stand, I asked him a question that the book said that it was a form that you ask questions of a character witness, and it was, did you know the defendant's reputation in his neighborhood for truth and veracity? And he answered me, he's a good automobile driver, but having read the book, I asked the question twice more, and with increasing indignation, the answer I got was, he's a good automobile driver, at which point the trial judge turned to him and said, Mr. Witness, how long have you known this young man? He said, I've known him all his life. Is he a young man who tells the truth, Your Honor? He always tells the truth. Well, you see, Mr. Witness, that's what Mr. Brennan was asking you, but he's a Harvard graduate and doesn't speak English.
Exam period, whether it was the winter or the spring, was, for me, unmitigated terror.
The pressure seemed to build toward the end of the year as all your grades were at that final session in June.
And I distinctly remember that I spent the first 15 minutes trying to figure out what subject the first question had to do with.
I found that I'd already used 3 hours, and I hadn't answered but 5 of my 10 questions. And then I just settled down and went at it, and I survived.
So the issue for me was not whether I'd flunked the course, but whether I'd flunked it badly enough so that they'd ask me to leave right on the spot.
By virtue of authority delegated to me,
I confer on you the degree of Doctor of Law, Master of Laws, or Doctor of Juridical Science, and declare that you are ready to aid in the shaping and application of those wise restraints that make us free.
What has not changed is a commitment to intellectual rigor and honesty, a genuine concern with the role of law in our society.
I can't imagine that if I hadn't gone to the Harvard Law School, that my life and my career would have been anywhere near where it has been as a result of going to the Harvard Law School.
Albert, Alice, Forsythe. Young Hope.
It does provide a training for your mind, which is as fine as any you can obtain. Certainly it opens doors, especially for a woman.
And I think the fact that I was constantly stimulated to do my best was a very important contribution of the Harvard Law School.
Gerald Ronald Lavin. Linda Ellen Friedman.
He doesn't like lawyers. It trains us how to be lawyers. I hope that's what I came away with. I think it did.